Israelites.
We are in the middle of Tosfos. We're in the middle of Tosfos. On Lamed Vav and Aleph. A very controversial Tosfos. Very complicated Tosfos.
A lot of people read it.
Okay, so again, I want to go back to just the last two questions that we have. I'm happy to entertain any answers that you have, but I wanted to remind you of the two questions that we were left with. Number one, the question was on Shitas Rashi and Tosfos, what does it mean that the Cheskas Ha'av works for the daughter, the Cheskas Ha'guf of the daughter works for her but not for her father? On the assumption, and you could challenge this, but that the whole notion of Cheskas Ha'guf is simply a determinant of Metzius. So it doesn't make any sense why, if she had a chazaka being free from Muma when she was born, which again is an odd kind of chazaka, in the sense that it's not cheskas besula. I don't think I'm going to do anything with this, but cheskas besula is a genuine status quo chazaka. It's fair to say that essentially every single girl is born with besulin. I don't want to tell you there aren't rare cases where something is awry. But it's a fairly good bet. I mean, assume that people are born, all women are born with pesul. So there's a definite status quo chazaka. The chazaka that a woman doesn't have mumin, or the chazaka of behema not being a treifa, is not a status quo chazaka in the strictest sense, in that it's possible she was born with mumin. It's also possible the behema was born with this particular treifa. Unless you argue, that's the kind of treifa that could not be there at birth. But mumen, and maybe the mumen also, it could be there at birth, but I don't think the Gemara is making any such distinction. Nonetheless, there seems to be an assumption, since most people are not born, the overwhelming majority of people are not born with mumen, and the overwhelming majority of behemos are not born with this particular treifa, therefore we can treat that as a presumption that what we call the ruba de lesa kamon. Right, there are two kinds of rows. Those who are doing dafyomi will discover that within a day or so. That there are two kinds of robes. There's a ruba de isa kamon and a ruba de lesa kamon. A ruba de isa kamon, is the Gemara says, are either teisha chanuyos. If you have ten stores, nine of them selling kosher meat, one of them selling treif meat, and then the whole sugya of those who feel with kavua and parish, but when we need to follow a row, we look. There are 10 stores, 9 are selling kosher meat, so the row of the meat is kosher. That's a ruba de isa kamon. It's quantifiable in front of us. Similarly, when a beis din votes, and it takes a vote to exonerate someone, to convict someone, that's a ruba de isa kamon. A ruba de lesa kamon is based upon sort of a statistical probability. So the chazaka of mumin and treifa is really, it's not a status quo chazaka. It's a chazaka based upon a ruba de lesa kamon, right? A statistical rove that most people aren't born. Women, most animals are not born as a treifa. From that, what seems to be created, although maybe not, is the status quo. As we assume, because most people are born that way, that's what we should assume the reality is. Okay, that requires some exploration. But one second, let me just finish, so let me come back to this. So we were left with two questions. If the whole purpose of the chazaka, the cheskas haguf of the isha, is to be mevarer, in the reality that in fact that she wasn't the baal mum originally, and that she only became a mum as recently as possible, then why should it make a difference whether it's the father demanding the ksuba or the daughter demanding the ksuba? If either one says borili, I am certain that these mumen only came about, you know, at this particular time, and the Baal obviously has no idea, then what difference, why should the daughter be able to use the cheskas haguf, her own cheskas haguf, to bolster her case, but her father cannot use her cheskas haguf? It was that particular issue that led, so the svara there is very, very hard to understand. In fact, so hard to understand that the Ramban and the Rashba and the Ritva simply dismiss it out of hand and the Havayim Vav. So there is a bari b'shema. The whole point, and that's the norm, right? In other words, you'll ask, who says? Tosfos said that when the Gemara says that the father is a neman, it's mashma b'cholinin, whether he's bari or shema. So you see that it's not a din in bari b'shema, that the daughter's a bari and the father's a shema, but rather it's that the father doesn't have her cheskas haguf to use. So the other b'shema say, what are you talking about? The reason why it says the father has to bring a raya is because normally
normally, the father doesn't know for sure when these women, the woman Shebeseser, he doesn't know when she got these women. She knows when she got the woman. Normally she's Bari. Normally he's Shema. Remember the Gemara asked the Kash about the story of the Trefa? The Gemara said, Umay Paska? The Gemara's question there on the bottom of Ayin Vavam and Beis, when the Braisa had said, Hamotzi Mechaver Alav Haraya, and the Gemara wanted to suggest that that worked in both directions, that if the Tabach had paid the money already, the Tabach has to prove. If the Tabach hadn't paid the money, then the Mocher has to prove. The Gemara wanted to reject that by saying that the Gemara was only talking about a case where the Tabach had paid the money. Then Hamotzi Mechaver Araya. So the Gemara says, my Paska. Why do you assume that the Braisa is only talking about that case? Maybe it's talking about both cases. In both cases, you say Hamotzi Mechaver Alav Araya. To which the Gemara answers, no, because the normal case is that the Mocher doesn't give the behemoth over until the Tabach pays the money. So the other Rishonim would say the same thing here. The normal case in the Mishnah, we say the father is not Neman, it means when he's a Shema. Why? Because the normal case is the father is a Shema. The daughter is Neman. Why? Because the normal case, the daughter is a Bari. But in a Hanami, the Rashba and the Ramban and the Ritva all say that if the father was a Bari and he said, I know when those women came because I saw it happen, or I saw it wasn't there on a particular day, but it's here now, and that particular day was after Erison. So they say that the father would also win. The Mishnah is just talking about the typical case. So then the kasha became twofold on those Rishon. Number one, why in our sugya will the girl win? Why do we say Ein lo tanis besulim by a cheresh if the presumption is that we're going to be towing something on her behalf, either that after she had Erison, she was either Nensa, or she became a Mukas Eitz after that. So the Kasha is, but then that's a Shema, Taina Shema. So if you look, I forget, one of the Bishonim says that maybe the din of Taninan is, since the person could have been towing such a thing, Shua wants to call this Koach HaTaina, since they could have been towing such a thing, we treat that as a tainus vada. That's the din of Psach Picha Le'ilen. It's a chiddush, but I said that in the shiur yesterday a little bit. The kasha, what do you do though with the trefa case? In the trefa case, it is certainly not a tainus bari. Right? There's a case where there's the chazaka of the mamon, that there's the chazaka of cheskas mamon that the tabach has. There's the cheskas haguf of the behema which supports the mocher, except for it was Israel, right? It's been undermined now because now the behemoth we see is the trefa. You have the taina of the tabach shema. You have the taina of the mocher shema. So in that case, why do we say that the tabach has to pay the money? Bishlama, if the tabach paid the money already, you could say the mocher gets to hang on to it. The tabach has to prove because he's only a shema. But if the tabach hasn't paid the money, then you should say that the mocher has to prove it, because he's only a shema. So the Rashba, you have to look there. The Rashba writes, if not mistaken, Vitzarachi and Gadol. He knows that it's a problem. He doesn't have an answer to the question. I don't think the Ramban addressed it. I don't remember if I saw something early this morning in the Ritva. So that does remain merely a question. It remains a question of why should it work in that particular case. Now, those are the two questions. According to Rashi and Tosfos, why doesn't the cheskas haguf of the daughter work? Establish a fact. Who cares who's using it? And according to the other Rishonim who disagree and want to say that the father and daughter is a Bari Vishama issue, so our Gemara you can answer. You can explain. But what do you do with the Gemara that says that the Tabach can be forced to pay even though the Taina of the Mocher is only a Shema? The one other error that I wanted to make, just because a couple of you with Shua and Sam were talking to me in Seder about this, is that before you explain and put the however you want to deal with the Gemaras, the question is, why is the burden of proof upon the husband, and why is the burden of proof upon the Tabach? If they have the Chazaka on Mamon, if you have a Chazaka against the Chazaka, and you have Shema against the Shema, why can you be motzi mamon from the tabach or the husband with that particular taina? It's a taina shema, and your chazaka, cheskas haguf of the besula and the cheskas haguf of the behema not being a trefa, are weakened chazakas. So if you want to call it a draw, I understand, but why can you be motzi mamon from the tabach of the husband? Here, I think it's important to just state what I think is pretty obvious, which is that the, I don't care how you want to conceptually formulate this, you know, mechanistically how it's working, but remember what happened here was a transaction. A transaction took place that was mechayev the tabach, that was mechayev the baal. The tabach bought a behema, meaning he made a mashiach on a behema and shechted it, but forget the shechting part. The husband was Kona and Isha, and he had Nisun as well. So that in itself already creates an in the absence of any other knowledge, creates an obligation to pay. So even though he's still Musaf on the Mammon, because he's obligated to pay, if he wants to undo that obligation, he has to prove that he's not obligated. Simple. Yeah, simple, but that's the reason why. So it's not simply chazaka against chazaka, shema against shema, and now we make the tabach pay, or we make the habal pay. No. The tabach and the baal did something that's mechayev them to pay. Now the question is, but maybe they're potter. Maybe she wasn't a pesula and it's a mekach tos. Maybe it was a treif and it's mekach tos. So now we have a chazaka against the chazaka and a shema against the shema. And in this case, we say that until the burden of proof rests upon, in this case, the baal or the tabach. So now I'm going to open the floor if anybody wants to talk about the make any suggestions for those two particular questions. I will say that going down the road of to answer the second question would be very brave in that the Rashba had no answer, but that doesn't mean you can't have an answer, Mati.
I actually want to ask another
question. Okay, more questions.
The Shem of the Bari thing. So in the Risha, Manolav Biadecha, why can't she claim for her father, and she's a father, and even better, she's not going to give it over as much. She's not even getting the tshuva.
So why can't she claim? Can someone answer? That's an excellent question, which points to a major yesod in Chosha Mishpat, which is not our topic, but I'll let someone try to answer that so you guys can take a stab at it. He wants to know, why can't the daughter claim on his behalf? That's what you were asking, right?
She's still married to the husband, and
no.
Money?
No, she's not. He divorces her, otherwise there would be no ksuba. He wants to get rid of her. He divorces her. If he doesn't divorce her, chooses to marry her, it's not a problem. There's no discussion. He's mochel, they're married. There's no ksuba to pay right now. Daniel?
Isn't the assumption that when she got married, her father married her off, implying that she might be a kana, therefore she doesn't have the das, the same way a farisha doesn't have the das?
No, because the point is that we would appoint someone, to, in theory, to be towing on her behalf. That's not an issue. We don't say if you masek a katan, you're potter because the katan can't be tovayim based, and we will look after the katan's interests in that case. Danny?
Couldn't she at most be like an aid in the case? She's not one of the, she's not a defendant, really.
You're on the right track, but you're not formulating carefully either from a halachic or a secular civil law perspective. There's one word that comes to mind here. I'm doing it right now. I'm doing it right now.
Silence.
Standing.
Thank you. It's called standing. It's a secular, a civil law term. Do you know why Congress can't sue Obama over immigration or something like that? I think this is true in this particular case because they have no standing. The law doesn't affect them directly, so they can't sue in court. Sometimes the Supreme Court says that until the law has actually taken effect and a case has come up, you can't sue because since it hasn't affected it, there's no standing to sue. In halacha, we have a terminology for this. It's called lav dal dvarim didiat. You're not my litigant. You can't be tovei. If it's not your money, you can't be tovei mi based in. Which leads to another famous sugya, which is the sugya of harsha'ah. Can you appoint someone in your stead? Now, it's not appointing someone. Can you be marsha someone, which in the Gemara's in the time of the Gemara only could work if you could make a kinyan on the mamon that was involved. A famous sugya in Daf Ayin Omed Aleph in Baba Kama, Perek Meruba, whether kasvin an orkasa amataltalei. An orkasa is a harsha. But the way harsha originally worked, not anymore, now we do all sorts of monkey business, but the way harsha originally worked is you had to be able to transfer the property partially, because by being makna the person the property partially, what did you do? You created standing. They were now baldover because they were also owners in the property. I think, by the way, if you have shutvim, one shutvim can probably be tovea the entire case if they're affected by it. Because you can't, because the baldin can't say to the shutav, la baldvarim didiat. The shutav has standing. But if you don't have standing, you can't bring the case. The daughter here has absolutely no standing, unless the father could write a harsha pay the ksuba, but whatever, that's complicated. Yes.
But she could shed light onto this. Like, is it that we don't believe her? Like, when she says no, it's Bari that...
No, so that's the whole point. It's not that...
Can we at least use her as a witness? Like,
so again, the Rashba... That's a detail question. That's not important. Let's assume for the moment we can't. Let's say she is not. She's not an aid. She's A. She's a karo. B. She's an isha. C. She might be a katana. Okay. Strike three. Strike one. Even one strike would be enough there. Okay. Okay. So, yes, Dan.
I have a different question.
So the bottom line is that if the father is Bari. So again, the Ramban would say he makes the taina, he wins. The others, but Rashi and Tosa say no. Okay. So anyway, that answers whose third question was that? Mati, that was your question, right? Okay. That's a major. But keep in mind, file that away. That's a major yisod in Dine Mamas. Danny, I'm sorry.
I don't know if we addressed this yesterday already, but what's the difference between the father's inability to create a chasadu for his daughter versus the owner of the cow? Or creating a chesedagu for the cow, meaning the cow, right? The cow isn't saying that it has a chesedagu for its kosher. The owner has to say that he assumes that it's kosher. No.
I think you mean talking about the tabach case, right?
Yeah.
So again, the assumption in the tabach case is that the animal, we don't need anybody to say anything. The animal, firstly, nobody knows when the animal got the trefa, but the animal has a cheskasaguf of being not a trefa.
So why doesn't he say, that doesn't sound the same as what's going on in the father. I mean, maybe that's the point, but in the case of the father being toying for his daughter, he doesn't have, why does he have to create the
so that's exactly,
daughter? Why can't we just say that it's...
That's the whole point. What you're saying exactly is that the problem, that's the problem the Rashba points out with his own shita. In other words, you're correct. What the Rashba says and the Ramban says is that they both say that that the case of the woman of the girl is a case where it doesn't matter father or daughter. They say it all depends upon whether it's a tainus bari or not. Normally, a daughter is a tainus bari, and normally a father is a tainus shema. But if the father had a tainus bari, it would be the same din, and the husband would have to prove the case. Right? And as the cheskas hakuf does, according to them, doesn't only work for her, it establishes a fact. The problem is by trefa, is that there's a cheskas hakuf, but the tainus is a shema. Right? Yes, no?
Yeah.
Now, if you want to say the other way, so... So that would not be as much of a kasha. In other words, if you want to say that the cheskas hakuf, I have no idea why, that's my question, works for the girl but doesn't work for the father, then you could ask the question, who does the cheskas hakuf of the behema work for? Presumably its owner, its original owner. And that would work. That, I think, would work for Rashi and Tosfos. The svara makes no sense by daughter and father. But once you say that the cheskas hakuf only works for the bailim on the cheskas hakuf, however you define that, I would say that by the animal, the mocher is the cheskas, has the one who is the bailim on that chazaka. That's what I would have said.
I mean, I think of it more, I didn't really learn the Rashi. I thought the question seemed more of a question on Toso. I mean, it sounds like from Toso that the father, whether he makes the right claim or the Shema claim, the Chazgadigul is never going to work for him.
Right.
But it sounds like on the opposite hand, for the girl, whether she makes the Shema or the Bari, the Chazgadigul is always going to work for her.
For Tosos, yes.
Which works, which is in line with what we said about the Talak case, meaning even if it's a Shema claim, it's still going, the Chazgadigul is still going.
The Mocher still wins, correct, with the Mechazgadigul, which we could say, for Rashi and Tosos, belongs to the Mocher.
Right, but it sounds like, therefore, the claim creates the cheskat aguf in that sense, meaning it sounds like the case with the father making the claim is more parallel to the case of the tabach case than the girl making the claim for herself, because there, the analogy would be that the girl is really the part in that case, and
the answer is no, because the father doesn't own the daughter, but the man owns the animal. That's why.
Okay, fine.
And that's why it is, before you got there, I was saying, I think that it's reasonable to say that the Mocher owns the Cheskas HaGuf of the Parah. We understand why the father doesn't own the Cheskas HaGuf of his daughter. So it works for Rashi and Tosfos, I think. Again, what the Svar is in the first place, that the Cheskas HaGuf should belong to one person as opposed to the other, it only worked for that one person, not the other, that's beyond me. Okay. So I'm still looking for answers to either of my questions. Alex.
It's not an answer, but it's a Matthias question that came up to me as I was trying to think of an answer.
Okay.
What would it mean, like in Matthias, for a father either to say, I'm bari on the fact that my daughter doesn't have a woman, or to bring a raya? How would you go about it practically?
No, so bari would say that he, let's say, you know, she has a woman on her thigh. A woman on her thigh. She has a woman, that's a fact now.
Yeah.
The father could say that I saw it for whatever reason. I saw her thigh uncovered a month ago after the Arison, and there was nothing there. There was no blemish. So when he says the woman came after Arison, he can say that with certainty on his own part.
Right, and what would
Adam. Adam happened to have seen it. You know, she was walking in the shuk and something tore her garment, and the Adam could either, so let's say after Arison, and they could see maybe the cut, and that's the scar that you see now, the mum, or whatever it is. The Adam could see the you know what caused it. It happened.
I don't have it fully worked out, but I was wondering. I don't know whether is it possible that part of the mechanism at play here is to try to prevent. We don't want fathers, you know, obsessing over physical characteristics of their daughters.
It's not usually fathers who do that. It's more mothers who do it. But yeah, okay.
Your mother's not going to believe it. Your mother doesn't.
I know. I'm kidding. Whatever. Okay. Forget that. Yeah.
Is it possible that part of the I mean, I'd have to figure it out, but is that even a possibility that's worth considering, that we want to avoid, we want to, you know, we don't want the father to have standing on his daughter because it creates some sort of, you know, incentive for him to be doing things they should be doing, frankly. It's not appropriate.
I think that's a...
What?
I don't think Chazal were particularly concerned about that. I never get the impression, you know. I don't think so. Zach?
I have a question about do you believe
you guys all have questions. Does anybody have answers for me? Hold on. Sure, I was going to save the day. Wait. Finish. Go.
I was wondering, would you believe, you said they ate it for a while. Would you believe women for this? It's more likely that they would actually see it.
For Din, no, I don't think so. In other words, the Mishnah says that if he was kones, and if there's a merchatz in the ear, so then he has no neman, he can't claim, because he would have checked out through his krovim. But that's not formal establishment. In other words, it's just, he would have, as opposed to having the nisuin, he would have put the brakes on it long before now. He can't say, all of a sudden I discovered, and these women are here. So either they weren't there until just a moment ago, or he knew about them one way or the other, and he was mochel. By choosing to go forward with the nisuin, he either knew she had the moment or the moment weren't there yet.
From gossip?
No. His sister or his mother happened to be visiting the bathhouse. Right? Because that's what they do. And bathhouses are important, are sources of all the important information in the world. I had a chavrusa many, many years ago. His grandparents were Satmar. He told me that although this was from Williams, he said the best Lashon Hara you get in the Mikvah Borough Park on Shabbos. So I don't know that he spent much time there, but that's the equivalent today of getting the hock. That's where you got it. We're not in our community. We're not Mikvah goers. We maybe go twice a year, so it's not really shaykhless. Does Sfardim go Erev Hashanah Yom Kippur?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't remember if that's in Chabar Alatha. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, so for our practice, it's generally only twice a year. But there, you know, Erev Shabbos, it's the whatever. Shua.
Okay. I've heard recently about people talking about the inner workings of Bari and Shema.
Okay.
That why would Bari beat Shema inherently? Like, why does that work in that way? So in general, what?
I'll let you keep going because I'm tempted to intercede and say, like,
Bari seems to have more certainty. Anyway, so people talk about the. So
nobody can
test. The usual way that Lovelace works is like, is it because the Bari is really strong or the Shema is really weak? Is the usual way that things look at this? And so some.
No, before you say that, once you. I was just very simple. You have no idea what happened. I was there. I saw what happened. There's no contradiction. Right? When there are two accounts which don't contradict one another, why should we create a contradiction?
So let me
but go ahead.
Anyway, so Shema, so there are those who argue that Shema is just basically not a claim. That Bari is a claim, and Shema is basically the lack of a claim. So someone is actually has a claim, and he has nothing. So now if we have two, if both of our litigants are Shemas, right? So we have, so, and looking at the differences between their Shema might be very useful in realizing why the Shema by a sale is very different than the Shema by the husband and the father. When you look at the two claims between the father and the baal, let's say, the claim that's really occurring in Basin is right now we found that she was not a psula on her wedding night. That's a fact on the ground, and really she should not have her ksuba. So he certainly has a claim coming to Basin saying, I didn't find basulos. The added part is now we could have a question is about when exactly did she lose her basula. Right? That would then be the next question. Or for instance, the moomin.
But
she certainly in fact now has moomin.
But why the fact that she's not a basula, why does it mean that he's entitled not to pay the ksuba?
No, meaning
because when you know that she's not a psula, you still that doesn't tell you inherently when she became not a psula.
It doesn't have what I'm saying is the fallacy that really the Shema and Shema that we have is one, she's a certain she's someone who did not have a psula when she got married. Right?
Wait, right. Well
that we or let's say we're moomin. We certainly see that right now she has a moomin.
Right.
Now the issue would be when did that moomin occur?
Right,
so the way the claim works is the Baal certainly has a full claim that this woman in front of me has a moomin. The Shema that he has is, when did that occur?
But you
right?
see, here's where I disagree. You say he has a full claim she has a mum. He doesn't, because a mum doesn't win him his case. A pre-existing mum wins him his case. All he's demonstrated is that it's an existing mum, not a pre-existing one.
But you see why there's certainly substantive, like, there's some substance to his claim in a way that there's now currently a mum.
But only because I assume that if it's here now, maybe it was here before. Right?
Yeah.
On the counter side, we can say that at some point she didn't have this mum.
No, but meaning you can sort of see that his Shema is certainly a claim of a Shema, whereas perhaps the reverse is not really a claim as much as maybe there's an alternative. Right?
Why? In other words, she's saying, in the case, take
there
the case
of
the mum. She's saying, maybe this mum came after Beit Eversen.
Yes.
Okay.
Right?
And you
but
owe me a ksuba.
All right now we see is that there is a mum.
Right.
And that the ksuba would not work in the place of a mum. I'm agreeing that we have a shama here.
But see, but that's not true.
What?
Ksuba doesn't work in the place of a pre-existing mum. The existence, unless you argue the existence of a mum now means it was pre-existing, that's not a claim.
And you say the same thing about basulos as well, right?
Yeah.
It's not a claim to show up and say, my wife wasn't a basula when I showed up.
The claim is, my wife wasn't a basula, and maybe this happened before we had Arison.
You don't think that there's a certain amount that a Baal can go to the basin and say, I didn't find basulos, and that is certainly a claim. I can't say
what
it is.
Well, he only comes to the basin when he finds out she wasn't a basula.
But meaning, is
had
that,
he, had the first
is that not reason to at least bring up a court case?
Agreed,
right?
Because maybe...
Meaning, I'm still okay with saying it's a Shema, but I feel that it is a... Meaning, for those who feel that the way that Bari Shema works is that some Shemas just basically don't exist as a real claim...
No, see, I get that part.
I can see why this might be a strength of the claim. Same way...
No, sir, but aren't you, by the way, going to undermine the point now?
Undermine which point?
If the outcome of what you're saying now is going to mean she shouldn't get the ksuba in this case.
Yeah, but she doesn't in the case of the father. The father Shema, doesn't he lose? Is that the whole point?
What about her Shema, according to Tosas?
So yeah, her Shema...
I'm on her Shema.
Oh, and her Shema is a Shema? Isn't her Shema a Bari?
No, the point of Tosas, the whole point of Tosas is that it can be a Shema across the board.
Like,
we don't care whether it's Bari or Shema.
I wasn't for Tosas as much as you said the Tzarekhim for the Rashba.
Oh, you wasn't for the Rashba? So for the Tzarekhim for the Rashba is not to explain why a Taina Shema doesn't work. I get that.
No, it has to explain what's the difference between the Shema and Shema here versus the Shema and Shema by Teva.
Oh, yeah, by Teva.
Right.
Okay, go ahead, I'm sorry.
So the Shema here, I think that one Shema, that here, the Baal certainly has a Shema, but also has a claim. For those who believe a certain idea that some Shemas don't exist, I think they might differentiate between the Shema of the Baal existing versus the Shema of the Av, based on how I wanted to differentiate. And then when you go to the Mocher, you almost have a similar thing. Any time that you sold something, and you gave over the cow, and money should be coming your way, that's a full claim that you bring to Beis Din. Now, if he wants to respond about the Shem of the Trefa being at a specific time, that is not as full of a claim.
Yeah, but I gave you my daughter. And that in itself created your obligation to pay ksuba, certainly after the nisuin, and now you want to claim that you don't owe it. So shouldn't you have to
pay? So I'm not talking about chazakas per se. Or...
No, but the same transaction when I gave the behemoth over, the same transaction is the same thing as when the father gives the daughter over. I know we're not looking at it in mercenary terms, but on a superficial level, you know, I'll state this once. I don't think I said this here. Kiddushin we say is a kinyan. It's a kinyan of iser fundamentally, with certain monetary ramifications. It's not acquisition of property. I'm not saying that as apologetics. I'm saying that seriously.
Isn't it an acquisition of rights though? Now you have the right to sleep with her, and she doesn't have the right to sleep or marry other men.
No, firstly, that may not create your right to sleep with her. That just may mean it means. The Gemara says, Asra lea kule ama kehektish.
At least you buy her rights now. That
you're not buying her rights, you're being makdish. She's becoming mikudesha so that she's asura to everybody else. Uh-huh. It suffices to say, I'm not saying this is apologetics, but anyway. So I don't, but in this case, I think they're identical. So you've actually given me an idea because you're focusing on the Shemas, which I like because you're asking the question, is there a difference between Shemas? I think that there actually may be a difference.
Yes.
Yes.
I was going to comment on that.
It's very Balabatish type difference, but I think it's a logical one. Okay. Go ahead.
Can't we also say that the father is bari? Not necessarily that he knows that the moon happened after the Arison, but he's bari in the chazaka guf, meaning that he's bari that he knows that at the time she was born, at least when he saw her, you know, naked, that there was no moon there.
Okay.
Implying that his shema is better than the husband's. Or the Baal Shema, because the Baal is complete speculation. At least the father.
So I'm going to do the same thing I said to Shua. The non-existence at birth is fundamentally irrelevant to the actual claim in the case. It has to be non-existence at the time of Arison.
I know, but
all you're suggesting to me is it's possible is that the father can create. All you're doing is turning to what I said was a cheska saguf based upon originally a rove into a cheska saguf, which is vaday. So now it's a status quo chazaka as opposed to chazaka, which is derivative of rove. But I don't think that changes the case. I don't think that's material.
Okay, and then I have a question, not an answer, regarding the rove part.
Yeah.
How could it be rove in regard to... I can understand that, you know, the majority of women are obviously born a basula, or the majority of women are obviously...
No, all women are born a basula.
Most are born not balei mumen. But regarding Rubinus Leisle, the statistical
Ruba
aspect,
the Leisa come on, yeah.
The Leisa come on. Can't you also make the argument regarding the Tevach case, and also maybe this case, that you cannot suggest that the mum happened... At the latest point,
yes.
Because the time period between when the owner of the cow or when the owner of the sheep or whatever the animal was, from that moment that he actually came and either acquired the animal first or the animal was born from a pre-existing animal that he owned, to the point where he sells, isn't that time period longer than the time period when the tevach actually purchases the...
Yes.
Which would then suggest that, at least in time, maybe you understand my...
I know what you're saying. You're saying that as an abstract observer, if I had to ask me when did this mum happen, did it happen in this time period, that time period, just based upon statistical probability?
Yeah.
It's a good question. In a very odd literal sense, it hearkens to a sugya in Bava Basra about Rov Vakarov Ruba Adif. It's a very strange din. I think the Rambam omits it. But even though the Torah says you measure to the closer city by Egla Rufa, the Gemara claims in Bava Basra that if one is closer but the other one is more populous, then you assume that the murderer came from the Rov.
Is that the Lo Nachon sugya?
Is that the what?
It's
in the second parak, I believe, around Daf. Dalit or something like that, maybe a little later than that. Strange sugya. It seems to run against the psukim. You have to say the psukim, the Torah is dealing with a case where two cities are the same number, two closest cities have the same number of people. But the problem, of course, is with that svara. I understood that Gemara because then you should always go, there's only one city in Eretz Yisrael that will always bring every single Egel HaRufa, namely the largest populated city in Eretz Yisrael. Because it doesn't matter if there are closer cities, it's always going to be the Rove. Unless, you know, that you could talk about, was it Rove larger than any other city, or Rove, you know, compared to all the other cities combined, you can see why it's problematic, why it's a very difficult Gemara. So that's a good question. I don't know, there must be an answer to that question. It's a very good question. You want to... you want to answer his question?
Yeah, answer
his question. Okay, just don't forget me, don't forget to remind me to come back to Shuva's suggestion and the different Shemas here. Okay, I want to come back to that because I think that he may have given me thoughts of an answer. Yes.
Didn't we say that the whole case of the para is the fact that it's not scat, so it hasn't happened the past 3 days, right? And therefore,
so let me do the para case.
Right. The whole idea is that it's not
correct.
Over. So
correct. But his question very good. But his question is still relevant. Just look when it was discussed. Look when it was shechted, and then. You know it happened within the last 3 days. And why don't you look at whose possession it was in longer?
Over the past 3 days, maybe the 3 days are...
It could be equal. It could be exactly 36 hours ago. If he shechted it 36 hours after the shechita, after the mechira, then it would truly be a safek.
But it doesn't mean... I mean, the assumption was that, oh, because he's had it for 5 years, this guy's had it for
No, granted, but it shouldn't matter whether it's a... This rope makes no difference whether it's 90 to 10 or 51 to 49.
But we really categorize that as rope now, that it's...
Why not?
One day?
It happened, we agree, sometime in the last 72 hours, right?
Okay, yeah.
So... If that's the case, not knowing when it happened, if I were to take a dividing line, let's say 24 hours ago, what's the probability it happened last 24 hours versus it happened in the 48 hours that preceded that? The answer is it's twice as likely to have happened in 48 hours that preceded that. And therefore, if you sold it 24 hours before it was shechted, presumably you should assume it was trefa when it was sold. If you sold it more than 36 hours before it was shechted, then you should presume it happened after you sold it, right? That's what he's suggesting. There's an obvious answer to the question, but I'm not sure what it is. Because there has to be. You know, it's a good question. Ezra.
Statistics like that.
Yeah,
that's what I want to know. That's what I think.
What are the odds that a girl is raped from after she had a
It doesn't need to be raped. It doesn't need to be raped.
And what?
Yeah, I can actually argue that the rape that occurred in between Arison and... You can argue that the rape that... If a rape were to... I think it's much less likely that a rape is going to occur in between Arison and Nisuin as opposed to a rape that happens before Arison because there's an element of punishment. There's a repercussion beyond the knas.
That's all I'm saying. We assume that she got raped during Arison. Even though the statistical probability is basically zero.
That's my point. That's my
Or if you're in America, I don't know.
No,
if you're
we
in Chicago
don't say
or
that. We say that since she can claim that she was raped, we claim it for her, and we assume that it's true. Even though is that an over 50% chance?
And that's why it can also apply to that case. Meaning the statistics can also apply to that case. You could say, who's the base then to say that the rape happened in between Arison and Kiddushin? If statistically speaking, it could very well have happened before the Arison even took place. You could flip it.
You're trying to ask a question about the Gemara.
Yes.
So I think that they're right. That when we talk about Aruba Delesa Kaman, we only talk about a probability of what happened, not a probability of when it happened. The question is why. But I'm pretty sure I don't know why. We don't. That's clear. I don't know why. It's a very good question, I think. I don't know what the answer is. Remind me on next week to ask for Shachter. Somehow this may just be like a well-known issue that's addressed, but I'm not sure. Okay, so let's go back to the question of still on the Rashba. Is anybody... I'm going to throw out my suggestion, which is... And I think that there is a basis for this in Shas, I have to remember where the issue comes up, but you tell me, what's the difference between the Shema, for the moment, let's say the Shema of the, why would the Shema by the Trefa, why would we say that that Shema doesn't undermine the Mocher's case? But let's take for the moment the Shema of the daughter. The Shema of the daughter undermines her case. Remember, for the Ramban and the Rashban and the Rishba, it doesn't matter father or daughter. All that matters is Bar Yishema. Bar Yishema. Why would you say that the Shema of the daughter is weaker than the Shema of the Mocher? Yaakov?
She could know.
Yeah. Especially, it's better on the daughter than the father. But by a Mocher and a Tamach, there's no way that the Mocher could possibly have known. It's impossible to know. So the absence of that knowledge, in some sense, you might say, doesn't really weaken the argument of the Mocher. But the daughter and her Mumin, you expect her to know when those Mumin came about. Right? You know if you got some injury or some scar or something like that, you know when it happened. So the fact that she doesn't know all of a sudden, perhaps, and that's why I'm saying a Balabata sense, undermines it, makes it seem like really she does know, but she doesn't want to admit. You know, rather than being towing something that, rather than lodging a tainus vada, which she knows is sheker, she'd rather be lodge a tainus any odea.
Are you questioning, why can't we just say that it just weakens, meaning it just formally makes it weaker? Why are you questioning whether she actually, like...
Well, one is, why should it make it weaker? She, in either case, you don't know.
For the father, he also really doesn't know.
That's why, so I think that the answer has to be...
Acted out in real life.
What's that?
That is ridiculous. Like, if you acted out in real life, and just think about the court case of, like, he has no clue when his daughter was raped.
So you're answering his question.
Yeah.
Yeah. In other words, I think that
no, the mum.
So even if you, no, I understand. But he's still saying presumably, if it's a significant mum, the parent knew when it happened. It didn't happen on its own.
These can be significant events in a girl's life.
Right. But if you even in Tinsalomra, you don't want to not accept that answer. I would argue that because fundamentally here is where you can invoke Tosha's idea that Cheskas HaGuf belongs to her. Because fundamentally it's about her claim. She ordinarily is supposed to know. It's true, you can come up with a case. Look, there are cases where she shouldn't have known either, right? She wouldn't have noticed, right? Let's say it was some type of a horrible disfiguration on the skin of her back. In an era before there were mirrors, how would she know? So still, but we say that fundamentally the mumen in a person's body is something that fundamentally they're supposed to know. And therefore, that's the kind of, the absence of a tainus vadai there undermines your case. Whereas in the case of the trefa, nobody could possibly know.
Too, he's also supposed to know. He's also.
So again, if you view as that even when the father's making the taina fundamentally stems from her. So we say that tainus mumen, by definition, requires a tainus vadai. Because it's the kind of thing, under ordinary circumstances, the party possessing it is supposed to know. We're not blaming them so much, but whereas the tiniest trefa, without an MRI machine, even with that, I'm not sure you'd be able to tell most of the trefas. There's no way for anybody to know.
Do we see that anywhere, where different level shemas make a halachic difference?
Yes, but I'm trying to remember where. In other words, where we say that hayel aleda, you should have known, and that undermines your claim. Right? It makes it, I don't know, maybe it makes it look like you're not telling the truth.
Is it possible that it's sort of like a risk factor that the trefa and the tavach is the meicher has this whatever it is, let's say chicken, and it's a risk that it might be a trefa might die, and he's meicher to the tavach, and now the tavach has sort of bought the risk factor of
right. So I'll tell you why it's appealing, but I'll tell you why I don't like it. Because that's only, in other words, we don't say when I buy an animal where it's unknowable when I buy it whether it's a trefa or not.
You're saying it's
not chasadeh. But if I shecht it and we find the Kanika Gemara's case where huglat piyamaka, where you can tell it's at least 3 days old, and you bought it within the last 3 days, we say mekatos. We don't say that when you buy the animal. You know, sometimes you're taking a risk. So you see that it's really dependent upon what knowing whether or not it was a trefa when you bought it. The fact that it's unknowable in the first place when you buy it, everybody knows
sure.
That.
I guess there's a sense of unknowing, though. Sort
I think that the fact that it is mekaftos, if you can prove that it was there, even though you can't blame the person, even though it was essentially unknowable, shows that it's not that he takes the risk when he buys it. He takes the risk that he buys it, that he tarries, and it develops it develops something later. But taking the risk.
So he takes a risk, but not to the extent that you can prove it beyond doubt.
But the question is, how do you know that he's taking it? That's circular. You only know that he's only taking the risk for the indeterminate trefa, because we decide he bears the burden of the indeterminate trefa. We haven't gotten there yet, right? We're trying to understand, right?
Right.
So you don't. In other words, at a certain point, if you wanted to argue that based upon the klalim of Suffolk that the tabach loses, you could then argue that it turns into a vadai. In other words, what's the? Even if one were to say that. If you were to say that the mocher wins mitam's safek, and that should be treated as a safek, you can now argue this turns into a vadai for the mocher. Why? Because once the din is that the mocher is going to win on a safek, and he'll be able to be motzi the mamon, then when a tabach buys it, he knows that if he gets an indeterminate mum, he knows he's going to lose. Right? But you can't get to that standpoint until you decide, what do we do when there's a safek? Okay, think about that a little bit.
Were you asking?
No. Okay.
Because
fine. Yes.
Yeah, it's not about the different types of shema as much as like how different the suffix is in the two cases. But
So that you understand why I call. I think it's reasonable, but why I call about sort of balabatish. In other words,
it's just so practical. It's just so simple to what the cases are. Simple to what the cases are. Like it's just.
Yeah. Okay. But that's what balabatish usually means, right? It's very practical in a sense, not so much conceptual.
Also like, I don't know. It's just very shot oriented. You look at what it is. That's just what it is.
I'm making a convert, Benny.
I want to hear.
I'm ready. Well, okay, but you didn't commit. You can try again, but maybe I'm blocking, Danny.
But doesn't the Tabach case have to work exactly similar to the Perisha case does? Aren't they in the same boat? And the Perisha case is the same, making the claim about the goof of the...
But except for the argument, the solution for the Rashba to the Cheresh's case was that that's called the Tainus Vada. It's the nature of the base that being towing for someone. Taninan...
We don't assume that's a Shem anymore. We're going to assume that...
Trezabari, yeah. In other words, one would probably construct this far along the lines that whenever we say that based in is towing on some behalf, we treat that as a Tainus Vada. Even though Mitzias is a suffix underlying, when once based in steps into advance the Taina, the principle of Psach Pichol Ilem is if it's a Vada. In other words, because if he were able to talk and communicate, he might make a Tainus Vadai, therefore we are making a Tainus Vadai for him. It's still a little bit of a leap, but the Rashba, somebody says that. One of the Rishonim says that to address that position. But that doesn't work at all by the Tabach case, because that is a bona fide suffix. No, that's totally nobody knows except for the Rabbanu Shlomo. Okay, so I think that's at least a reasonable... I still have no proposal for the Rashi and Tosis to explain why the Cheskas Agof works for the daughter, not the father, but at least I have a shemitz of an explanation for the Rashba and company, why the Shema of the Tabach works, whereas the Shema of the Mumin, of the girl, does not work. Yes.
I want to hear Rosh Hashanah's answer to...
Go ahead, share it with us. Be prepared to explain it. You told this to me, and I don't know if I could repeat it, but go ahead.
Okay, so this one, he used what I talked about before. The difference between the Baal using this claim and the daughter using this claim.
The father, you mean? Father.
Sorry, yeah, the father and the daughter using the same claim. Now, I can't... Okay.
Just to clarify one thing. This is explaining the Kasha on Rashi and Tosos, not on the Rashba in court. Okay.
On Rashi and Tosos, is that when the woman uses it as a claim, and she's talking about the Cheskas Guf, when the father is using it as a claim, it's a Cheskas Hadid.
Can you explain those terms?
Meaning... Where he believes in a distinction between Cheskas Guf and Cheskas Din. How those work out in different places, I can't really show, but really, Cheskas Guf would be something where you're talking about the reality of a matter, and you're talking about in terms of physical reality. But when the father is using it, the father is using it more as a claim in court rather than talking about physical reality. And then we talk about, and as a claim in court, we then see, how can we back up this claim? And that would be how the basin will look it up as a chazaka. Oh, in our list of chazakas, here's a chazaka you could use. Whereas when she's claiming it, she's making claim physical reality, not a claim in basin.
Okay.
And he believes that chesed would go for the strongest types of chazakas because they talk about the root of the matter, where and chesed adin is not as strong.
What if, could again? You didn't explain the difference between chesed and chesed adin.
Well, the chesed
adin. I
want
to hug him. Thank you.
No, I mean I did say what those differences
no,
were. How they would apply here, I wouldn't. Chesed goes for the root is a chazaka about reality. Chesed adin is talking about which would be how we halakhically look at things.
Formal versus substantive.
Yeah.
Well, my question, would you know what I mean? In other words, he's questioning, and what I mean, asked you earlier,
no, really
is how does this apply here? And I don't know what these
so
terms
the way
mean.
The apply here is saying that when she's using it, it's a cheskes hagof. When he's using it, it's a cheskes
hagof. What do you mean?
Why? Because she's not there, and he's just using it as a regular, as a card to play in based it.
But it's a card based upon a physical reality.
Well, every cheskes
hagof. Right, they're both being tovea. Well, that's why I want to that Hajun Kushala Duchta. In other words, remember they're both being Tovea Ksuba.
The strength that makes it so strong to win is only if you can label it as a cheskas aguf.
Okay, but now I want to know why do you get to label one as a cheskas aguf and one as a cheskas hadin?
I don't really subscribe to this answer.
Now, in fairness to Agon Rav Shimon Shkab, he didn't say this here, right?
He said, no, he said this here.
He said it in
our Tosos.
In Ein Vav.
What does it mean?
Can I try?
Sure. By the way, I say this in all seriousness, and it may be my chisaron and my lack, but this is what frustrates me about what I'll call sort of conceptual analysis, which is, you know, Professor Schiffman likes to say about linguists that if they see a phenomenon, as soon as they give it a name, they don't understand, but they feel better. Right? As soon as they put a label on it, now I feel better. It's like, but you don't understand what it is anyway, right? So it's like, that hasn't, all you've done is given it a name, now you solve the problem. Right? Which, yeah, obviously, you haven't. Right?
So when the daughter is in court, it's her guff she is talking about, right? And she's going to say, like, whether I was, like,
when I got these moments. No, let's
right.
have the moment.
Yeah, when I got this moment, because it's like it's her goof. So she's really her claim is about her goof.
Right.
The father's claim is it's a monetary claim of whether I have a right to the ksuba. He has no right to talk about her goof.
But again, she is talking about her goof so that she can collect her ksuba.
Right.
He is talking about collecting her ksuba on the basis of the physical facts of her goof.
Yeah.
I know, so those are exactly the same thing. Why should there be a difference?
The fact that those are just in different orders allows him to put them in different orders.
On Sunday, I want you to show me the text.
I have it right
here.
You have it
right here.
So yeah. Send it to me. I'll try to look at it.
I
want,
read it now. And
I think, in fact, he was... Shimon Shkup gave shir in YU for a couple of years.
Okay.
And I think that in the Velt, they probably don't want to acknowledge that, but he was here in America or something like that.
He was on a fundraising trip.
Right. So he gave shir a couple of years in Yeshiva Shabbani Tzikachonon. So he was a gone, but I don't understand what...
Well,
what
I mean, first you have to believe in the idea of the difference between a chesus a goof and chesus a din.
Well,
which is a clarification that I think if we believed in that more...
Okay, so all you've done is you push the problem to a different place. Right, I get that. I understand what the problem is.
Where he came up with this, it has to do with a lot of...
In other words, it's almost what you're describing to me. I don't know what he says. It's almost as if, you know, a claim... This sounds like so postmodern that, you know, it's about a personal what she's talking, it's about a personal narrative.
But fine.
I think if you're postmodern, she wouldn't have a person to make the narrative.
No, but it's like, it's you know, it's our personal narrative. As opposed to him, he's just the mercenary, you know? He wants to collect money. But Al Pidin, I don't think Halacha recognizes that distinction.
He's trying to say that it's... Cheskas HaGuf. Is that one, we do understand, we certainly see that when she makes a claim and he makes a claim, there certainly could be a difference.
Right, but I would have suggested what most of the Rishonim suggest, which is that she knows and he doesn't.
But even in those cases, we don't have that as an option, right?
Right.
So we don't have that as an option, and we're in Rashi and Tosfos. So we certainly see that when she makes a claim, when she would make a claim about herself versus him making a claim by herself, we see that there's certainly a difference in their mindsets when they're making it. In some way, like the claims are certainly coming from different sources in a very different way, right? She can that she's making a claim about herself, and he's making a claim to win this court case.
Yeah, but again, You made a jump there. She's making a claim to win her, to win the exact same thing he's trying to win. A ksuba.
This does tie back into Hayyar San Chasos and Chasos Haguf. Because, like, as we're talking about, Seder Chasbin has something to do with Makor HaSafik, which I'm not sure.
Haguf addresses the Makor HaSafik.
Right, and she is the Makor HaSafik.
Whereas the Chasos HaDin would just be more of an Anhaga.
But the Chet. But the cheskas.
I'm taking like lines out of this, like.
I know. It sounds to me like it's words. It's like the Gemara has hilchasa gimel dvarim or hilchasa bilitaima. So this is mili bilitaima. I don't understand what it means, right? It doesn't make any distinction. Doesn't make any sense.
Only the girl can affect the cheskas haguf because it's her guf. I don't know if that.
Again, I know I'm hung up and stuck on this point, but I thought the cheskas haguf is just to establish a presumption of fact.
Well, maybe that's
a presumption of fact whose outcome is the same. That if the presumption is if she was free of movement until Erisin, the father can collect the ksuba, or she can collect the ksuba, depending who's tovea the ksuba. And if she was a balmum before, then neither can collect the ksuba. So in other words, I thought that the cheskas haguf is there just to establish a presumption of fact.
But the chazak has been.
Agreed, but for both of them. It has the same impact. Again, the only difference between the two cases in terms of the actual, not in terms of the taina being leveled, but from the only difference is who's collecting the ksuba.
Yeah, so I think you would have to go with one, if you view Chas as a guf, not as establishing physical reality.
Okay.
Right? We'd have to ignore that because if it's establishing physical reality, then we wouldn't be able to work with it. Right? Because it should work for both. Rather, it must not be that. When you bring a chazaka into court, it has to do with making a good claim. Right?
See, I'm gonna get stuck there as well. So it's like what court is, you know, my son is participating today in mock trial, right? And in mock trial, it really doesn't matter what the claim is the same for everybody. It's just how well you argue it, right?
100%.
This is like a Plato in the Ion, right? Who is a rhetor, right? It doesn't really matter. He has nothing to say, but he says it nicely. You ever read Plato's Ion?
Not enough.
It's the only thing I ever read of Plato, partially when I was studying Greek. Actually, you know, we read some in the original, right? So didn't get very far, right? But Ion is this rhetor, right? Like English rhetoric, who they could speak nicely, but Plato's challenge him, but you don't have anything to say, right? Or what is the expression? It's a speech about nothing. Yeah. So anyway. So I don't know what that means.
So
is to make a claim. It's taina. Is the taina correct or not correct?
One has to believe in Chasos HaTaina, presumably.
All we're doing is migrating the terms to where I don't understand it. You're trying to. Okay. All right. So you know what? Let's wait. Let's move on a little bit. Let's move on a little bit, because there is another part to this. So now you know where I'm stuck. Again, I don't feel bad. Again, it's never an excuse that the Rishonim didn't have an answer, but obviously the Rashba and the Ramban were so taken by the impossibility of arguing the Cheskas HaGuf makes a difference whether it's the father or the daughter. Rashi and Tosfos were thinking something else. Yes, Yaakov, it's more formalistic as opposed to substantive, if you want to call it, but I still don't understand why matters on a form. Why we're obsessed with the formalistic level, right? That's what you were sort of saying. That was the terminology we're using, right?
Yeah.
But why should it matter? Who cares? I mean, and you're saying that in different terms. It's just the taina, the koach ha-taina, the whatever it is. What is that? Why?
I would have said it in formalistic words. I would have won.
What's that? No, I don't accept it either. I don't understand. Again, court is not a theater. I mean, yes.
Well,
you're
just points out that it's theater.
It's theater
because
you're hoping to convince people that you're correct. And sometimes people can be convinced of the facts
it's
when you put on a good show, even though you're wrong.
It's not because of that. It's we're just talking about we can't. When you, right, to make the assumption that a chazaka means that I now know officially what has occurred is an impossibility.
Understood.
That's not how it's working in Basin. The way it's working
okay.
in Basin is that they realize that which of how much power there is to a certain taina. Now, this taina, certainly there's reason to believe it. Now, why there's such reason to believe it, not as a physical reality, could lead
well,
to certain...
Well, except for that the reason to believe it is that physical reality.
No, we cannot prove the physical reality.
I didn't say you prove it.
Improving.
We're always working in every case. You're always working with presumptions
so
and probability.
The idea of the physical reality, and then you realize that it's in the realms of chazaka. And then what he's saying is that when you look at chazaka, there are certainly different levels of chazaka, because it's no longer it's not a birur hadavar. Rather, if it's going to be just
right.
how we're figuring
but,
this out,
then you can see how some of them can have more power or less.
But I would have thought that the power derives from the probability of accuracy, not from some formalistic structure.
But
some chazakas are better than other chazakas because some chazakas are more probable than other chazakas. I apologize profusely that I am stuck in a Baal-Batish way of thinking, but it seems to me that the difference between
I do agree that any good chakira does need to be able to sustain such questions. I do think that there's answers to such questions.
Okay. So I'd like to take a look at it. You sent it to me. And I'll see if I can try to see if I'm capable of understanding it. Moshe.
Yeah, this might be irrelevant, but...
Never start a question that way.
Yeah, okay.
You know, like, if that goes second after... I know this may be a stupid question, but...
Got it.
Okay.
So if the chazaka does not change, like, if someone's a basula and then the person stays a basula...
Until we know that it's changed, at least, right? If she's not a basula anymore...
So that's called a chazaka?
Yes, it's a status quo chazaka.
Oh, okay.
What's in this Gemara? What Masechta is in here? It's a Gemara Ksubos. Okay, I closed it. What's in the Gemara now? Probably. How do you know an angel didn't come down and quickly, while light speed, swap a volume out and stick it in? The answer is it's possible, but highly unlikely, right? The status quo chazaka is that until we know that something has changed, we presume it remains the same. That's the one chazaka. The other chazaka is establishing something in the first place, not through direct observation or direct knowledge, but are based on a presumption. That rove X happens, therefore the chazaka is, or is often human behavior. There's a principle. The reason why we accept an Eid Echad by Aguna is that as a chazaka, the Gemara says that milsada avida legaluye lemishakri inshi, that most of the time people don't lie about something they're going to get caught. And if you lie and say that so-and-so died, and then 2 minutes later, wasn't there like a rumor about some actor who just died? I don't remember who it was.
Is that an article said Gene Hackman?
Yeah, Gene Hackman, correct, had died, right? Probably somebody wrote an obituary, and that's happened, actually, because newspapers write obituaries for famous people before they die to have them ready to run the day they die. So on occasion, Mark Twain, was he the one who said that reports of my demise have been greatly exaggerated or something like that?
Yeah, you didn't say it. It definitely wasn't exactly that. That's how it's quoted.
Anyway, so the bottom line is the bottom line is that Milsa is that people generally don't like to say things that they know they're going to be caught, you know, as liars. Right, people generally tend to lie about things that there's a reasonably good chance they can get away with a lie. Now, is that true for all people? No. I used to say I will not say who the politicians were who disproved the chazaka of the Gemara, because not only was it a milsa davida legliyla mishakri inshi, but it was a milsa degluye mishakri inshi. Right. So, but most people, nonetheless, have a sense of shame, and therefore they don't want to get caught in their lie, and that creates a chazaka based upon a rove, that most people don't lie when they would get caught, when they likely get caught with the lie. So that's a chazaka based upon a ruba delesa kamon, not based upon I know the fact is X, and I assume that continues to be so until I know that it's changed. Yes, Danny.
Does that help to answer the question then? Meaning the woman, when she goes and makes the claim, we assume that she's telling the truth because she knows for herself what happened. Whereas the father, because even though we assume that what he's going to claim is the truth, it doesn't mean that when the girl told him about it, you know, in the first place, that she was telling the truth in the first place. I mean, he's the second.
But you're quibbling about the definition of Bari Vishema. I'm going to present to you the following definition, which Tosus would still say the father loses. Let's say the father says, I saw her get cut. Tosus' whole point is that in all cases, so you're just quibbling, what's the line, what does it mean to be Bari? Is Bari that I saw with my own eyes? Is Bari that my daughter told me it happened and there's no reason to contradict that, you know, when it's 4 years later now and there's no reason she should lie? So you can discuss that, but at the end, Tosus says, even if the father saw it with his own eyes that she got the mom, that's still called, that still the father loses. Right. Okay. So, those are questions that you should. I'm going to try to take a look over Shabbos at that. But that's, we haven't solved all problems. But I hope that at least in your minds it should be very clear what's going on here and what the questions are. I think it's a useful, healthy framework to think about some basics of chazakos. Okay, so we still have a Gemara to learn, or Tosus, I should say, to learn the Gemara. Because up until now, Tosus has just been focusing on the question of what was Rashi's shita. So Tosus, after defending Rashi, then says the following. Yudi, can I close upon you to read? In my Tosus, I assume it seems there's three lines when the Tosus gets really wide towards the end of the line. Okay. So basically, now this Tosus is very difficult on many levels, but it solves one set of problems, creates a different set. Tosus says that the reason why she has no tainis pasulim is because she is becheskas mukas eitz. Now, the truth be told, there is a lot of appeal in terms of the words, I think, there's a lot of appeal in terms of the words for Tosus's pshat. Whenever we say ein lan tainis pasulim, what does that usually mean?
Because
you expected her to not be a psula. Now, according to Rashi, that's not what the Gemara means here. What does the Gemara mean here, according to Rashi, when it says ein lan tainis pasulim? It means expected her to be a psula, but should he find out that she's not a psula, he can't be master her the ksuba. He has no right to complain, even though the expectation going in was that she was ein lan tainis pasulim, because we can answer for her. That's not ein lan tainis pasulim. That's yesh lan tainis pasulim, except for she can say something. If you look at, by the way, the Mishnayos and the first parak of the Masechta, it's very interesting. I was just looking through it this morning, very briefly. After the first Mishnah, which talks about the days that on which a Basulah and I'll get married, you get a series of Mishnayos, a pair in each direction. Those who have Tainis Basulim, those who don't have Tainis Basulim. those who do have Tainis Basulim are a woman who was Nisgarsha Nisarmala, or had Chalitza Mina Eirusin. Or a Gioris, a Shmuya, and a Mishuchresh, Shenisgairu, Sheniftu, Sheniskairu, Shetachu, Chusos Migim Lashani Amechad. They all have Tainis Basulim. Ah, but a Basula, a woman who might be a Basula, but Minan Yisuin, whether she's an Amana, or a Grusha, or a Halutza, there's no Tainis Basulim. And a Gioris, and a Shvuya, and a Shivcha, Sheniftu, Sheniskairu, Shetachu, Yiseris Mishosh Amechad, Einlan Tainis Basulim. The common denominator in all the first cases is that she's expected to be a psula. If you find out she's not, you have a right, you have a tain against her of mekach tos, in theory. In the second cases, you have no expectation that she's not a psula, so even if she's not a psula, you have no claim. Then the Mishnah goes on to talk about, in a case where there's a tainis psulim, but the woman says, either misher estani nanasti, or mukaseitani, what's the din? So there's a machlokas, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lezer, versus Rabbi Yoshua. So when they talk about what does it mean to have or not have tainis basulim, it means, does the husband have a right to expect that should she be a basula? If he doesn't, then he has no business in coming to Beis Din. Because it's like, he comes to Beis Din, says, she wasn't a basula. And we look at him and we say one word, duh, what do you expect? Now, Rashi's pshat doesn't work with that. Tosus's pshat works with that. Right? Rashi's pshat does not work with that. Okay. Rashi was a chacham too. He had a reason why he said what he said. The reason, there's one very fundamental question about Tosus, which we're going to have to explore, which we won't get to today, but I want to at least set up the question, and I suspect that that's what pushed Rashi into saying what he said. Danny.
I mean, isn't that mission of the Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, isn't Rabbi Yeshua the more obvious reading, that if she was, there's no reason to say that he shouldn't have assumed that she was a Betula, then when she comes afterwards, after she's found out, and says, oh, by the way, I was right after
Erosin,
right? That's not an assumption that anybody would have had going into the
Right. No, correct. I agree. The point is, he comes to Beis Din. That's the cases that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua argue at are cases where he comes into Beis Din and says, she was supposed to be a Basula and she wasn't.
Right.
And now she responds by saying X, and the question is, do we believe her? I don't care.
Meaning Rashi here makes sense because Rashi is saying, in the time of Basula, according to Rabbi Gamliel, obviously means because.
Hold on, agree. Okay, the answer, if Rashi says what he says, because the Gemara says, HaRabbi Gamliel, HaRabbi Yoshua. The Gemara forced Rashi's hand. What you're going to see, and I'm going to spill it now already, Tosus is going to give a nice hesper as to the Machlokas, there's only one problem. It is totally unclear why the Gemara should think that the Nekudas HaMachlokas that Tosus presents, that represents, was ever a Machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua. The Machlokas of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua was about what? Nemanus. Who gets Nemanus? Is the Isha Nemanus or not? What is the machlokas? You already see it. What's the machlokas between the two brises according to the Ri? Whether or not a Chereshes is assumed to be a Basula or not. The second brise of Tosis is going to say Ein Latayin Basula because the assumption is that Chereshes is a Mukasetz. The first brise that says Yesh Lo Knas assumes that a Chereshes is normally not a Mukasetz. Beautiful. Except for where did Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua ever argue about that? See, I said to a couple of you in Seder, I think Moshe, I think it was you and Yudi, this is a case where the first part of Tosis is so complicated that by the time you get to the second part, you almost lose, you take your eye off the ball and you forget what the Gemara actually says is the answer. Tosis is just trying to explain the Kudas HaMachlokas. You have to remember, okay, how does it now fit in Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua? Where do they ever argue about whether Chereshes is or isn't the Mukasetz? Ha Rabbi Gamliel, ha Rabbi Yeshua. Moshe?
Yeah, wait, why
didn't
Tosus need to take out the
case of
Yesh
Lakna? He didn't have to, but he said it wasn't there. For Rashi, in order, the reason Tosus doesn't like Rashi is because if you don't have the words Yesh Lakna Tainas Pesulim, as Tosus will point out, there's no reason to think there's a machlokas between the two brises. Right? The Gemara clearly assumes there's a steer between, I'll say this now, we're going to read it in Tosus. But if you didn't get this, many of you are sure got this already. According to Rashi, why ein lahem tainas besulim? Because they have an excuse. In other words, if it should turn out that she, not that we assume a chereshes is not a besula. No. A chereshes, we assume who was never married, is a besula. Except that should it turn out that she's not a besula, she can't argue for herself, so we argue for her. What about the first brisa? Well, the standard girsa that most Rishonim seem to have is yesh chereshes yesh laknas. Is there a stira between that and ein lahem tainas besulim? No. Chereshes yesh laknas because the assumption is a chereshes as a cheskas besula. Chereshes ein lahem tainas besulim, the second brisa, means should it turn out that she's not a besula, we can tain on her behalf why she's not. But that doesn't mean that was the starting assumption. So Tosus asks on Rashi, if that's the case, why does the Gemara assume that there's a stira between the two brises? The first brise is telling you that a chereshes, like most women, is presumed to be b'cheskas besula. That's why she gets a knas. The second brise says, what should happen if a chereshes, his husband, comes forward after lying to Rishona and says, she wasn't a besula. So we say, okay, calm down. Obviously, she must have been raped after she was a sarsa, or maybe she became a mukasetz after sarsa. Calm down. You don't have a taina against her. Don't worry. You can't be mafsid or aksuba. There's no stira between those two brises, according to Rashi. The Ritva fetches something for Rashi. None of the other Rishonim bother to point out that there's no stira according to Rashi. It's a problem. The truth is, there are a lot of girsos actually that float around this Gemara, as we're going to see, that other problems arise, but it really is a good kasha. That's what's driving the re. That's the problem. That, and of course, as I said before, perhaps, ein latinus basulum doesn't normally mean what Rashi says it means. Why does Rashi say it means that? Because based upon the answer of the Gemara, Rashi felt forced to do that. No, okay, yeah.
The basic language of ein latinus basulum doesn't seem to suggest Rashi's terence.
Are we saying, yeah, correct.
It doesn't flow whatsoever correct. With it.
It's not what the term means in the first paragraph. Yes, okay. Alex?
So, I'm not really sure if this is a good question, but I think I should be able to factor Bogaris in the third price. I mean, we don't have to find out where she's.
Oh, so that's, by the way, another point, which is when we say Bogaris and Mukas ate Leinland Tainus Basulim, I don't know if it's something you're trying to point out, that is different than the Leinland Tainus Basulim of Chereshes, according to Rashi.
I think the rate's about point.
I think so, yeah. Whereas for Tosos, it's consistent. Tosos is saying all these three cases, each one for their own reason, you don't presume they're a basula, so you don't have tainus basulum. Rashi has to say in the first case, we presume she's a basula, but should he claim that she wasn't, we taina for her. Bogeris and Mukasets, you don't have any right to assume in the first place she was a basula. And if you walk into Beis Din when she's a Bogeris or Mukasets and claim she wasn't a basula, we tell you go home. If you walk in when she was a Chereshes, according to Rashi, we explain, you're right, we didn't know that before, but obviously what must have happened was she was raped, became Mukasetz after Erusin.
According to
Tosfos,
just quick, if she gets raped, if a Chereshes gets raped, does she get a Knas or not?
According to Tosfos?
Yeah.
According to the second Brisa, no. According to the first Brisa, yes, because it's a Machlokas, whether Chereshes is Becheskas Pesula.
Okay.
Yes, Yudi? No, you were just, okay. Okay. So Tosus then goes on to explain the Af Al Gav. This is one of the hardest lines to read in Tosus, just from a language perspective. Go ahead. Who's reading? Yudi Gav. Af Al Gav. That's the Gemara on the next Amud. In other words, lots of women fall down. They take falls. They get bruised or banged, and they might lose Basulim that way. The Gemara said it in the context of the Machlokas over Suma. In other words, Shar Nashim will show that they'll see that they bleed and they'll talk to their mother and their mother will explain. Whereas the Suma doesn't see the blood, so she doesn't really know to say anything. That's why maybe a Suma in Latin is Basulim. So Tosis wants to play that by Chereshes. By Chereshes, Ein lantainas besulim. You don't expect her to be a besula because chabut de bechabdon mikol makom.
Shar nashim yesh lantana betulim midaloka amre shein mukaseitz.
The fact that they don't say
right.
Mukaseitz and they didn't say anything before indicates that at least there is tainas besulim. We don't assume because most women fall, you know, get banged around. Therefore, they're not mukaseitz because otherwise they would have said something. Aval.
Milhana chareshet beshota de lo matzi amre becheskat mukaseitz nasal.
You misparsed that. It took me. I had to look at it twice.
I don't know what that
is. No, it's nisos. They get married, but you missed. You overran a stop sign or a comma. Aval hana chareshes v'shota dilo matze amri comma nisos. In other words, the lo matze amri they can't say mukaseitzani because they don't know. Therefore, the cheskas mukaseitz nisos. It's a very, the lo matze amre, you're tempted to say the lo matze amre, an open quote, and what follows. That's why it's...
Three times
right, I realized this when I was reading Tosus the second time, that the lo matze amre, comma, and understood, what can't they say? Mukas eitzani, therefore, becheskas mukas eitz nisaos. That's not a conceptual issue, it's just, Tosus didn't really fill out the formulation, so it can really throw you off. Okay. And therefore, Ulepeirishri, let's read this one last line. Ulepeirishri. I'm sorry, Vechenere, go ahead.
Vechenere de Baros Farim, Logar Silan El, Bebreita, Ella, Haresh, Bashota, Baalanet, Yeshlan Kanat.
Betulo, nothing more. The Ein Kosov. That line, the Yeshlan Times Pesulim, is missing in the first price. Ulepeirishri.
Parch Shaker, the Medica Amar, Yeshlan Kanat.
Right, for the rispshat that the machlokes that is that Eilan Tanis Pesulim is that they're not Becheskas Pesula, then I understand why the first price that says Yeshlam Kas is a stira. But, Aval,
a parish of Kuntris, my kapar chachanami Becheskat Pesula, Chashvion Luda, Chashvion Luda, Amrion Hashta, the Mishanit Arsa,
Nansa. Whereas according to Rashi, there's no stira. They are Becheskas Pesula, but if this one case turns out she's not, we say Mishnas Arsa Nansa. Okay, we'll stop here for now. I wanted to just talk for a few minutes at the end of Shir. And on Sunday, if I understand anything in what I was sent, I will try to elaborate on that. And if not, we will continue on Tosis and the other Rishonim. Okay.